This is a replay of the Wednesday night, June 24th, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoIP. For the world's best customer service is OneVoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 3 hours to spend together. I hope you'll join me. 888-876-5593. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. And mosquitoes are usually on my mind. given the fact that, of course, I'm highly allergic to them, and I've always said that they can find me in a crowd. Well, it turns out the latest research says, yeah, that's because I've got type O blood. Now, of course, I realize this is the most prevalent blood type on the planet, but nonetheless, yeah, you are much more likely to be bitten by mosquitoes if you're type O than if you're A. A, by the way, is the least, and then B and AB are somewhere in the middle there. But by a far, far margin, type O are bitten more often. Yeah, at least they notice it. And so that's the deal there. Now, as to why, who knows? But the researchers said this is part of the mystery. Carbon dioxide output, body odor, skin microbiome differences also come into play. But I've tried everything. That's right. I'm practically wearing citronella. And this is not to mention, of course, the no-see-ums that attack me at the Scottsdale studio. Here in Globe, not as much, fortunately. But, however, John, of course, read something online, one of those ads, for the guaranteed no-see-um gnat and possibly mosquito repellent. And it's one of these deals that you plug in the wall and it's, I don't know, got some attractive light. The bottom line is it's just like a sticky piece of tape, near as I can tell, but I'll keep you posted. But what's interesting is the first year that the commercial electric bug zapper was patented, 1934. And we haven't done much more since then. And yes, we also have animated short films from 1912 on how the mosquito operates. I guarantee you we still don't know. And the Royal Navy, meanwhile, has christened 12 ships the Mosquito, the HMS Mosquito. Just lovely. All right, so 888-876-5593. And yes, I do realize that the mosquitoes are the world's number one killer because of the diseases they transmit, but in some places more than others. Okay, so with that in mind, we will kick it off. I always say we defer to first-time callers, and I will do that right now. And then we'll get to Fred in Huntsville and find out about his trip to Chicago. But Lisa is in Joliet. So Lisa, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh.
Thanks for calling.
Oh, you're welcome. Sorry to hear about the mosquitoes.
Yeah.
I do have two requests this evening.
Okay.
All I do is think about you by Tammy Terrell.
Oh, okay, sure. That's a good choice.
I love it.
Okay.
And You're Still on My Mind by The Byrds from Sweetheart of the Rodeo.
Wow. Okay. Let me get that down. I just erased the entire page. So I can't believe I did this. So we're gonna have to start over. It was nothing about Tammy, believe me. All right. So Tammy Terrell, what are we playing again?
All I Do Is Think About You.
Yeah, right. Is Think About You. I should write your name down next so when I play them, I'll actually remember who requested them. All right. And the other one is?
You're Still on My Mind by The Byrds from Sweetheart of the Rodeo.
Okay. All right. All right.
And Raleigh, I started your book, and I'm telling you, it's a journey back to graduate school because I'm a retired therapist.
Oh.
And we studied and studied the psychotherapist you mentioned in your book.
Yeah.
And I was just having all these flashbacks of commuting back and forth, working full time, and memorizing the psychotherapist and all of that.
Oh, man. Well, see, I just got to read them and enjoy them. I didn't have to memorize anything, and by reading the book, you'll know that I didn't.
They were ingrained in us, and it's funny because my one niece would do flashcards with me, and the other niece, who's now an anesthesiologist in Texas, she would tutor me for graduate-level statistics to be a therapist.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, I'm enjoying your book. You are truly a savant. I mean, between the music, your life experiences, I'm just like, I'm on fire.
Well, that's so very kind of you, and I'm so delighted you called. So I assume one of the things you studied was good old Maxwell Maltz and psychocybernetics.
And
it's interesting. I remember when that came out in 1960, I read that and just loved it. Have had it ever since. And I didn't know that they were teaching him, though. That's interesting.
Yes. As a matter of fact, where I attended graduate school, it was very, very based in psychodynamic therapy and also Adlerian therapy. We had an Adlerian professor. So, yeah, a lot, just very interesting. And I'm sitting and I'm reading, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is graduate school.
Oh, God. Well, so, hopefully it won't make you think too much of school and you'll just have a good time.
No, I am. Trust me, I'm enjoying it. And I'm also enjoying, you know, the knowledge you share with all of us. I love music. I grew up with older siblings. I'm the youngest of 12.
Wow, 12? 12? Your poor mother. This woman must have been very tired by the time you were growing up.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So my oldest sibling will be turning 89, and I'm 65. There you have it, as you would say.
I cannot imagine being the 12th. And like your poor mother by that time, but I guess by that time she made all the mistakes she was going to make on your older siblings. But my God, didn't she know what was causing it? That's just amazing.
My older siblings, they were, I mean, it was like different ones influenced me in different ways.
Yeah.
I mean, whether it was musically or just, you know, facts of life, whatever. I have a brother, he was a chiropractor and like a neuropath, and he was like my father. And I miss him dearly. He passed away a few years ago. And he was a huge influence with music. I mean, huge. So, I mean, everything from Mario Lanza was in our house, down to the Beatles. That's why I'm into, like, the music from the 60s. And it's, yeah.
All right. Well, that's great. No, that's wonderful.
All right.
All right. Well, I will do it.
All right. And I don't want to hold up your line any longer, but keep on rocking. I'm really enjoying your show. And my Chihuahua Bruno is with me.
Oh.
He enjoys it along with me.
Oh, wow. Well, a big arf to Bruno. That's so nice.
All right. Well, have a good evening, right. And I'll be calling in again. And I hope you don't mind. I do email you periodically.
Yes, and I hope you don't mind if sometimes I don't see them, because I just got a phone call today. I got a phone call today from a very good friend, and he said, "You didn't answer my email last month." And I'm like, "What email?" You know. So if I don't answer, I didn't see it. But I'm looking forward to your next call.
All right. Take care.
Thanks.
God bless.
Appreciate it. Yeah, you too. All right. So how about that? Tammy Terrell. Gotta love that. All right. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. Fred is back from his trip to Chicago. Fred, welcome back to WGN Radio.
The main thing is it did not rain during our trip, except for a little rain during breakfast on Sunday. The baseball games were not rained out.
Great.
That's really the important thing. We ate at a lot of good restaurants.
Good.
Giordano's,
yeah.
La Briola. We ate there twice for lunch and dinner.
Good.
Saturday night at Hampton Social. Got to see all the pretty girls at Hampton Social.
Okay.
We ate at three places for breakfast. Yolk, Sunnyside, and Egg Harbor.
Okay.
And all the restaurants in Chicago were good.
Excellent. Excellent. So now there you are in Huntsville. What brought you to Chicago? Why'd you come?
Well, the Big League Tours.
Oh, okay.
Big League Tours planned the trip for us.
Okay.
That's why we stayed at the Midtown Marriott.
Okay.
We flew in. It was a 1.5 hour flight from Chicago, direct flight from Huntsville to Chicago. And Friday night, it was over a 2 hour or Uber from the airport to the hotel.
Okay.
The Uber was longer than the flight.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Yeah, that'll happen. So I'm looking up Big League Tours, and you can go a number of places, including Japan. So what caused you to say, "Hey, Chicago's my location"?
Well, because we've always wanted to go to Wrigley Field.
All right,
we got a tour of Wrigley Field.
All right,
that's why. I mean, Wrigley Field. I mean, you have to go there if you're a baseball fan.
Yeah. And you got premium seating on the tour, too. So that's nice.
Yes, yes, yes.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, good.
It was good. We really enjoyed it. We went to Weber's Restaurant, too.
Yeah, okay.
That was good. My wife had fried shrimp, and I had a rack of ribs. Oh, it was good.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, glad you took some of our suggestions, because we had everybody calling in for you.
Yes, yes, we did.
Good.
And I wrote down your suggestions.
Good.
And that's what where we went to.
Well,
and your suggestions. And Monday we went to the Chicago Institute of Art, and we took a river and lake cruise also.
Good.
On our off day.
Excellent. Well, good. I'm glad you had a good time, and I hope you'll come back.
We did. It was a nice. We had a really good time. We enjoyed ourselves. We're so happy it didn't rain.
Yeah.
If it rained in baseball games, there's no rain checks.
No, absolutely. And, of course, just after you left came some tornadoes, so you just timed it perfectly.
Yeah, we really got lucky. We were grateful for that. There was still rain from Thursday night on Friday.
Well, good. Good. I'm glad you checked in.
You know, I wanted to. You know, I've listened to you for 30 years.
And I appreciate it.
Of course I'm going to check in.
Yeah, right. Back from the WBHP Huntsville days.
Yes, yes.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Great. Well, love having you, and great to hear from you, Fred, and keep me posted.
Thank you.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Okay, bye.
Right. So how about that? Yes, all of you chipped in and gave suggestions to Fred, and he took them. So that's wonderful. All right, we'll get back. We've got Brian, we've got Marty, we've got Joe, and we've got room for you, too. But want to mention the Sea Crane Company. Yeah, one of my favorites, as you know. The CC Radio 3, which is the almost everything radio. And they say that because they put Bluetooth in it as well as everything else. And John's got it by his bedside. And I'll tell you what, the speaker is good enough that you will use it as your Bluetooth speaker. It sounds great. But not only that, like everything that Bob Crane has developed, it has terrific reception. AM and FM. You're just not going to beat it. But in addition, of course, it's got the weather band and the weather alert, so you'll get all the emergency notifications. And it's got a clock, a timer, a dial light, all the things that you want, all the bells and whistles and presets, of course, and digital. But you can fine tune as well, which is really nice to have both if you're into tuning. Separate bass and treble controls, so you can your perfect pitch, whatever it is that you want it to sound like, it will. It runs on the included power cord, but if you put a set of batteries in there, you'll get over 170 hours at regular volume, and that is pretty amazing. Yeah, so it's just a beautiful radio, the CC Radio 3, and you can go to ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com, and take a look at the CC Radio 3. If you can't go online for some reason, you can give them a call, and if you have any questions, you can give them a call too, because they've got great customer service. That 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. But if you can go online, do that. ccradio.com. Look at the CC Radio 3. I think you'll be impressed. I certainly am. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio.
Some correction in all disinfection, just send in $1.98.
Get rid of that running nose, that nagging cough, that sneeze, that chew, that wheeze, and other injuries. Take the wonder drug that cures all your ills. Take Jeremiah Peabody's polyunsaturated, quick dissolving, fast acting, pleasant tasting green and purple pills. Well, it won't upset your stomach. It's good for arthritis. It soothes all your aches and pains. Get rid of the hammers in your head. Don't be a hypochondriac. Start feeling better again. Clear up that fungus among us. It's good for every ailment, including water on the knee.
And it's guaranteed to be just what you need for quick, fast, speedy relief.
Get rid of that running nose, that nagging cough, that's
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. So Fran's a bit under the weather tonight. She said, play something funny. And the first thing I thought of was,
Jeremiah Peabody's polyunsaturated, quick dissolving, fast acting, pleasant tasting, green and purple pills.
Does it get better than that, really? All right, yes, actually it does. And this is before the benefit of all the television commercials advertising God knows what. But yeah, so a little Jeremiah Peabody's will do somebody good. So first single Ray had on Mercury, by the way, and the first charter he had on the Billboard Hot 100, yeah. And it was the longest title ever until some Dutch record displaced it. But that's the deal. All right, so more to come right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
And now for the news, we take you to the White House. Mr. President, have you any statement regarding Watergate?
Mama poo, mama sigh, mama poo, poo, sigh.
How would you describe the Watergate incident? Mr. President, what were you doing at the time the incident took place?
Dragon wise, Cody Oda, Dragon wise.
And how do you feel about it now?
Here I am, stuck in the middle.
Mr. President, what will your position be from now on?
No more, Mr. Nice Guy. No more, Mr. Clean.
This is 1973. What will you be saying at election time in 1976?
It's been three long years. Do you still want me?
Still want me?
Just arriving is the First Lady. How would you describe the President?
She's a free and gentle flower growing wild.
With me now is John Snitchell. And Mr. Snitchell, who do you believe was responsible for Watergate?
Cisco Kid.
In a phone call, Mrs. Snitchell had this to say.
He's the funkiest worm in the world.
Here with me is John Bean. Sir, how do you think the president will wind up at the end of all this?
Reeling in the years, stowing away the time.
Mr. President, what do you feel you have going in your favor?
I knew Jesus before he was a superstar.
Have you any final message for the American people?
You are the sunshine of my life.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. And yes, Dickie Goodman, it was actually Isaac we were talking about, Watergate and Watergate Records. I said, have you heard Watergate, Dickie Goodman? And he hadn't, so now he has. And I guess that qualifies as humor, because John said, well, cheer Fran up, just play funny stuff. And, you know, I thought that was going to be so easy, but as you probably know, I changed computers this week, changed it all out. And so there's a lot of files that aren't on this. And the first few things that I thought of are just absolutely MIA. But I'm sure I can come up with more to make Fran smile. In fact, Fran is joining us. All right. So, Fran, let's see here. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Thank you so much, Raleigh. I haven't heard that Watergate thing in years.
I know. And yeah, there were a couple things in it that did make me laugh. I'd forgotten about how good it was.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, there's certain songs I can't hear without thinking about Flying Saucer, because here I go reeling, you know, and I think,
uh-huh. Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Or, you know, there are some other ones from that. And every time I, you know, hear one of them, I think, you know, that was Smiley Lewis.
Oh, I know. My favorite was the follow-up, of course, you know, Flying Saucer on trial, Buchanan and Goodman on trial, because, of course, they were sued, but they won.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've heard that or not. I probably did, and I've just forgotten.
Oh, well, then we'll have it on tonight if you don't remember that one. Absolutely.
Oh, that's fantastic. Anyway, last night you were talking about Gordon Lightfoot, and yeah, we found the one that left the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Yeah, I know. See, we were looking for him. not only does he like it, but he has studied it. He has interpreted it. It is a tome for this guy.
I thought he was gonna give us the whole lyric.
Yeah.
Know, or start singing it or something.
Yeah, well, it was close. Yes.
All I kept thinking was, Raleigh, please don't play.
No,
it.
Oh no, there was no, there's not a chance. Absolutely not a chance. So
I didn't think so, but, you know, I mean, we all like what we like. And that reminds me, I love Mr. Dying Lee Sad.
Yeah.
And I mean, I had almost a broken friendship over that.
Really?
This guy I knew said, because the song came on, we were going somewhere and the song came on the radio. And I said, turn that off. I love that song. And he said, you like that song? And I said, yeah, I do. Why? And he said, I always thought you had taste. And I said, well, just because my taste isn't your taste.
Right, right, exactly.
You know? And, I mean, you know, he just really got, you know, God, that is such a stupid song. And da-da-da-da. I said, well, I don't care what you think. I like it.
That's all that matters.
So I said, you like, yeah. And I said, you like some songs I can't stand. And I never give you any problem about it. So, you know. I just say I don't like it or something. I don't know why people get so, they get really personal about if you don't like the songs they like.
Well, you know? Why should it surprise us? Look at what wars have been fought over since the beginning of time. You know, if you don't agree with the next guy's philosophy, you're in deep trouble.
Oh, believe me, I know that. I know how that goes, yes.
Yeah.
But, and I've been guilty of it myself. Oh, God, how can they like that?
No,
but
I'm sorry.
I usually, you know.
Yeah, no,
When I was a kid, I had my closet records, the records that I would hide in my closet because I didn't want certain friends to know I listened to that stuff. And, you know, that was so stupid. Later on, I just thought, I like what I like, and if people don't like it, you know what they can do about it.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, you know, there's not that many good things in life, so you never question the good things. If those are the songs that take you where you want to go, that's all that matters.
Right. And I saw Gordon Lightfoot in concert.
What caused that?
And
did you get lost? Was it a wrong turn on the freeway?
No. know why she did this. I don't know. But my mother, for my birthday, of all things, took me to see Gordon Lightfoot. And because I had one Gordon Lightfoot album, I think she thought that I wanted to go see him, and he wasn't there. And anyway, he is the coldest. I mean, he was rude to the audience.
Really?
Just a very cold affect, you know, coming off of him. And he was doing that Auctioneer song, you know, and people usually want to clap to it and that sort of thing. And so he says to everybody, well, this next song, you're going to want to stomp and clap and so on and so forth. And then he says, don't.
Oh.
Like that, you know, just don't.
That's interesting.
And, yeah, and it's like, okay, you know, are you, I mean, I've sung in public, and it does sometimes throw people off because people are clapping on the downbeat or, you know, yeah, whatever. I mean, not all people got rhythm, but.
right, exactly.
But you just have to, you're there for the audience. At least that's my, you know, that's my feeling about it. You're there for the audience, and if they throw things off a little bit by clapping, or, you know, they're there to have fun.
Right, and they paid the money. That's why I'll forever respect people like James Brown, who, you know, no matter what, he was always cognizant of people paid money to see me, and I will do the best possible show. And he would fine his band members if there were any problems. It was just, he was manic about that. So, okay, I got something. It's not long, and I'm not playing all of the bit, but you mentioned The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. So, Tim Hawkins, are you familiar with him?
Name sounds familiar.
Yeah, he's a comedian, and he did a bit on songs sung in one verse.
Hey, back there, that's it. I think the longest song ever was, of course, by a Canadian. His name was Gordon Lightfoot. And I know. It was like, he had this song called The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. And it was just a beating. It was like, it like took up 2 8-tracks. You know, my dad had, it's just, oh, wow. I'm going to try this. I'm going to do the whole Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald song in one verse. Here you go.
The story lives on how the boat she went down and the people all died. Bummer.
There you go.
Oh, that is hilarious. Oh, there was a Guess Who song, and it was on the slip of something I had, and it was, they did not like Gordon Lightfoot at all. I was trying to think of what the name of that song was, but they were basically, the whole song is putting down his pretentiousness and so forth. I mean, I don't know whether the song, I think it's on the slip of These Eyes, or, you know, it's on the slip of one of the hits.
Okay.
But if you ever get a chance to, if you're, you know, into, if you like them at all, if you ever get a chance to listen to that, it's funny because, I mean, you know exactly who they're, you know, well, they do say, like, I think it might be even called Lightfoot.
Oh, this is funny. No, I've got some of their early stuff where they were Chad and the Expressions and all that, but I'm looking for, I just looked up in a database. You think it was like These Eyes or something? What do you think was the flip-up?
I can't remember because I had a lot of their stuff.
Yes, Lightfoot. It's the flip of These Eyes is called Lightfoot. All right, well, you know well, we got to hear this. So we will hear that next.
Okay.
That's great. All right, good deal. Well, I'm glad you're laughing.
It always cheers me up so much to talk with you. I really appreciate that.
That's so nice. So. Well, it is really good to hear from you. I read your email, and I will answer it. And I thought, you know, John and I both said, we got to play some comedy stuff tonight. So we are.
I thank you and John. I appreciate it so much.
You betcha. All right, well, Lightfoot will be coming up next. Okay. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. So we will find out right after this on WGN Radio.
Sidemen come out first.
John Stockfish bass guitar. Looks at the world through the eyes of Nashville, the riverboats, and Charlie McCoy. He's just a boy. Lead guitarist Red Shea, who's really come a long, long way since rhythm rocker Jingle Jangle. And go, Red! Then Lightfoot's Edwardian, subtly striped. His hair blondish and poetic. He is less than vinyl perfect. His foot is a precise anchor for the husk and vibrance of his voice. He is the image of Alberta, a side street near Chicago, the grim beauty of Toronto. He is an artist. He is an artist. He is an artist painting Sistine masterpieces of pine and fir and backwoods. Steel echoes long ago, the winter night of Black July, and then the outcome of an early Cleveland rainfall. I sit softly among the rest, waiting there for him to paint his pictures.
Interesting. All right, yes, I'd like to know what was on their mind, too. But nice that they mentioned Charlie McCoy early on in the song. All right, so that's Lightfoot, that's Guess Who, that's the that's Flipside, that hadn't gotten much airplay, but maybe it should have, I'm not sure. All right, so, yeah, I'm sure there's a story there, and wouldn't we love to know it? All right, so we've got Marty in Whiting. Marty, welcome back to WGN Radio. What's going on tonight?
Good evening, Raleigh. First-time caller this week.
Are you all right? I'll take it.
Hey, your first caller, that lady.
Yes, Lisa.
Reminded me, Lisa, yes, Lisa. Because anybody that goes to a psychiatrist should have their head examined,
right? Right, right, yeah. Yeah, there's actually a psychiatrist in San Francisco who wrote a book under a nom de plume. It was called The Shrinking Psychiatrist, and it was hilarious. I remember the first part was he said, you know, people go into psychiatry, the study of the mind, mostly their own. And I thought, yep, I'm going to like this.
Well, the reason I'm calling, last night, do you remember last week? I requested the Nat King Cole song.
Yes, and then that's
that
right. And then we had the writer of the article call us.
Yeah. Well, I tried to, last night listening to you, two different people brought that song up.
Uh-huh.
And then you had another first-time caller, a female, last night. Mm. She brought up the song. And then that same night last week, you played the Billy Crash Craddock song.
Yeah, rub
She'd
it
never
in.
Heard that before, and
yeah.
She brought that up.
Yeah.
I thought, boy, this is very ironic. So I tried to look in my phone book. It was an old phone book. Al lives in Dyer, not
uh-huh.
probably 10 miles away from Whiting.
Uh-huh.
Well, his number wasn't in the phone book. I thought, I'm going to give him a call. But, yeah, I thought that song has gained legs.
Yeah. Oh, it's a wonderful song. I mean, it truly is just the best. Love it, love it, love it. So what else do you want? What else do you want to request, since you seem to have taste that is a hit with the audience?
Nothing off the top of my mind, but a couple of nights ago, do you remember this song? I think it was a pop song. I Don't Like Spiders and Snakes.
Well, of course.
Remember
yeah, Jim Stafford, of course.
Okay. I'd like to hear that if you don't mind playing. Is that something in your realm?
Yeah, I don't mind that, actually. So, sure, I'll do that. We're going to write this down so we know that it is
Jim Stafford, huh?
Yeah, he wrote it. He wrote it with David Bellamy of the Bellamy Brothers, actually. And that was a 1974 hit. It was actually on a Polydor. Yeah.
Hmm.
And, yeah, I Don't Like Spiders and Snakes. Yeah, right. So, all right. So,
yeah, whatever
sure.
I was listening to a couple of days ago or a couple of nights, they just played a snippet of it. I mean, I haven't heard that song, God, 40 years maybe, and I'm 63, but brought back memories of being in junior high riding the bus to school.
Wow.
And hearing that on the radio.
Wow. Well, I think one of the best things he ever did was My Girl Bill. Showed the importance of a comma. Are you not familiar?
I've never heard that one.
You've never heard My Girl Bill? Oh, well, that as far as I'm concerned, that qualifies as a comedy record, so I'll play that next, and you'll see what I mean about the importance of a comma.
Okay. I always record anything that that you play for me when I request it, so
right.
I'll get ready.
Yeah, yeah,
you
will absolutely like this. I guess nobody plays it anymore, I guess. Yeah, nobody plays this anymore, but I will be happy to. My Girl Bill. All right, coming up.
Okay.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks.
All right,
bye.
Yeah, the importance of a comma. And there's many other fine examples of that, the importance of a comma. So we'll leave it there and see what Robert in Chicago wants to hear. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Oh, thanks, Raleigh. You know what? I was also, first I was going to talk about Buchanan, a couple other things, but I was thinking of a lot of other novelty tunes. There was one, remember, the leader of the laundromat?
Oh, of course, the Detergents.
One.
Yeah, that was actually Ron Dante. Yeah, the guy who was also the Archies. Yeah, that's right. My folks were always putting her down because the laundry came back brown. Yeah, over there was my baby, and over there was my baby. And yeah, I know. Yeah, so you'd like to hear leader of the laundromat? All right. I could do that.
Who's that banging on the piano?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right.
There's so many of them. Oh, and another one by...
Uh-oh, your phone is dying on you. So speak right into it, and let's see if we can hear more than half a sentence.
Oh, yeah, I know. I need a new cell phone.
Okay, so what else besides Leader of the Laundromat? What else?
Okay, I thought of another one by Dickie Goodman. Remember the Touchables they did?
Oh, sure, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was,
and
yeah.
I definitely want to play Buchanan and Goodman on trial for Fran, because that was my favorite because it was so true. All right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and they had another one too.
They had dozens.
It was like a follow up to the Flying Saucer. I think it was called The Flying Saucer Goes West.
Yeah, they had a number of them because they were doing it themselves basically. And then after Buchanan decided it wasn't for him, Dickie Goodman did it for many years. So till he took his own life, sadly.
That's right. I remember you saying that quite a while back.
Yeah, yeah, very sad.
Yeah,
and Yeah, you just never know. On the Luniverse label, because it was actually originally on the Universe label, and they found out there was one, so Buchanan sat there and wrote an L in front of Universe on every record. It would be the Luniverse.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And there was the Luniverse Sympharmonic. They did Crazy. They did so many things. In such a short period of time. Yeah, Bill Buchanan and Dickie Goodman. The Banana Boat Story and Flying Saucer the Second, Santa and the Satellite, and on. But yeah, the Flying
Santa
Saucer...
Santa and the Satellite.
Yeah, Flying Saucer Goes West was definitely... That was about 58. All right, I will do it for you, and you've ended the hour. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, I'll let you go because my phone...
That's right. And I'll be flogged. So we'll pick it up there after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Be on the lookout for Buchanan and Goodman, last seen wearing
black denim trousers and motorcycle boots.
Look out! They're after us!
Let's get out of here!
Are you Buchanan and Goodman?
Yes, we are.
Hello, hello again.
Well, this is a summons. You're under arrest.
This is Don Cameron in court.
The trial of Buchanan and Goodman is now in session. Is the district attorney ready?
I'm ready. Ready, ready, I'm ready.
Call the first witness.
And what is your name?
The upper call is Beetle, but my real name is Mister.
What is your complaint against Buchanan and Goodman?
They wouldn't give me a ride in their flying saucer.
Call the next witness.
You so long.
I crashed into the jungle.
Your Honor, I object. What have you got to say?
Woo! Order in the court. Call the next witness.
Aren't you Skinny Dynamo?
Yes, it's me, and I'm in.
Buchanan and Goodman, have you anything to say?
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
Order!
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you may leave the room.
Meanwhile, back in the
jury room.
We return you now to the courtroom, where the judge is saying to the jury,
Ooli papa ka, papa ka, papa ka, ka.
And the jury is saying to the judge,
Ooli papa ka, papa ka, papa ka, ka.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, have you reached a verdict?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We find them not guilty.
And on and on it goes. So, yeah, there you have Buchanan Goodman on trial. I don't know if Fran had heard that or not. And I had actually promised that I would play My Girl Bill, so that will definitely be the next bumper. Yes, the importance of a comma. All right, so that's where we'll leave that and see what Joe in Orland Park has to say for his bad self. Hello, Joe. Oh, we lost Joe. Well, thanks for trying. Oh, wait a minute. Did I lose everybody? Because I changed the phone system. And I didn't think about warning. Actually, it wasn't the phone system. The phone system said where it was. I changed the internet connection. And I'm not 100% sure. Hopefully, hopefully it was seamless. We'll about find out with Carl in Riverside. Are you there, Carl? No, I probably blew them all. I should have thought of it. And I'm so sorry. I absolutely should have thought of it. Let's see. We'll see. And I'll bet you Mike in Elmwood Park in there either. Are you, Mike? No, of course not. How could you? Because I blew every line, and that part didn't even occur to me. Adam had mentioned we were having some dropouts, and so I said, well, I'll just, because I've got other connections, I said, I'll just go ahead and call back. Dial it back. But when I dropped the internet, I realized I dropped every call. And so if that's the case, you will have to call back. And I think Mike in Elmwood Park may have done that. So are you there, Mike? No. All right, so what am I doing wrong here? Well, everything, that's right. And I do it like no one's business. All right, Carl has called back, and I think we'll get him this time. Are you there, Carl?
Oh, all right. So quick, you wouldn't believe it.
Oh, well, thank you, thank you.
Anyway, hey, Raleigh, hope you don't mind me calling. I tuned in. I decided to call a little bit earlier than instead of calling at 12:45. But anywho, I missed the, there was a parody on Gordon Lightfoot?
Yes, actually, the Guess Who, the flip side of one of their records was called Lightfoot. And, you know, you'll have to decide if they were kind or or snarky. You know, I'll leave it to you.
Well, I heard on this radio station, WGN in Chicago, there was a parody of Michael McDonald from the Doobie Brothers singing Old MacDonald Had a Farm.
Yeah.
Have you heard that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's on vinyl.
Kind of...
yep.
Never. Well, okay, but what I really called about was I told John I saw I don't watch a lot of TV, but, you know, PBS, there's some good stuff there on there, right?
Yeah.
It was a 2-hour, I guess you call it a bio or biopic on Janice Ian.
Okay.
And she's still around, and it was kind of interesting.
Okay.
So there you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Society's Child?
No, I know exactly all she is, and you know, that was her first thing when she was about 17, and then what she did at 17 in the early 70s. So yeah, she was on Epic at that point.
Yeah,
so,
I didn't realize that she did that what 6-7 years later.
Yes, exactly.
Society's
exactly.
Child, right?
And it's so funny. I had a boss at CBS Records who will remain nameless, and he had a crush on her. And I said, don't waste your time. And so, yeah.
Well, she's still around, has a few pounds on her, and her hair is snow white.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah.
There you go.
She was, I think I've seen some pictures of her. Yeah, she is still around. And she was a teenage sensation with that Society's Child. But then at 17 was a bona fide hit, you know, as far as that goes.
I was around when that came out. And I didn't really realize how controversial it was at the time.
Well, see, the interesting part, it supposedly was. But the interesting part is I like a record or I don't. And I didn't like it. So that was the end of that for me. But
and
sure.
If you remember, right at the end of the song, Society's Child, is that kind of a strange organ riff? You remember that?
Okay.
Anyway.
You're the one where she, no, I don't want to see you anymore, baby. I can't see you anymore, baby. I can't see you anymore. Yeah. No, I don't want to see you anymore, baby. Yeah, I remember the song only too well.
Yeah, and then the organ riff comes in at the end, and that's the end of the song.
Okay.
Well, anyway, there you go. Hey, you win some, you lose some. So.
Yeah.
I'll have some more interesting material for you next time. But
that's absolutely fine. Always good to hear from you. Thanks.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye.
And, she's very alive, and she's very stable. She married a defense lawyer, Patricia Snyder, in Toronto. Back then, that was where you did that. Not in 2003, I think. And at that time, you could do that in Canada, but not yet in the U.S. And they're still together. And I think that she was married, actually, to men twice before. But as far as her proclivities, that was always well known. And so I'm glad she came out and had happiness. That's terrific. Good for her. All right. So just because I don't want to hear the song, I wish her the best. All right. So we have Carl calling back. All right. In Chicago. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Riley. You sound good as usual. Well,
thank you. Thank you. Sorry for hanging up on everybody. I didn't realize I was going to do that.
Yeah. There's a renewed interest in UFOs lately. And, that Flying Saucer Part 1 and Part 2 that they did in the 50s.
Yeah.
I still get a laugh out of that. And I didn't realize I think that record got to number 3 on the charts.
Yeah, and it got them sued. That's why I played Flying Buchanan and Goodman on trial, and they won.
Oh, so, I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, yeah. That was actually landmark legislation, because you can do that in a parody, and that paved the way for a lot of stuff. But yeah, they were sued all right. They did a lot, and then of course Dickie Goodman for many years went on and did his own stuff. So sure, good stuff.
Did you ever hear the real story behind the Area 51 and the Flying Saucer that supposedly they recovered?
Oh, yeah. When you say the real story, it depends who you talk to. Remember, I did Coast to Coast for a while in the late 90s. So, I've heard many a story from many a person. And
the story that I heard that really made sense was that the Japanese were sending balloon bombs over to the United States, and they sent thousands of them. It was a thing that they were trying to do toward the end of the war. They were getting desperate. And these balloon bombs were made out of tin foil and aluminum and stuff like that. And when they would reach the United States because of the trade winds, they would drop down, and a couple of them actually landed in the United States. And supposedly what happened was one of them landed in a forest on the West Coast, and a child picked it up and was injured by it. I guess it blew up, and the child was injured. And so they brought the child back to make sure it was okay. And they also brought the material that this balloon was made out of, and it was like an aluminum foil kind of a funny thing. And people saw, observers saw what was happening, and they thought that it was an alien. It was a flying saucer that landed, and the little child was an alien, which it wasn't. It was just a child that got burned, and the material, the supposedly the strange material that they had was simply the aluminum and stuff that the balloon bomb was made out of that landed on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's similar to what you heard.
Well, no, you're kidding. Like I say, there's so many stories it could fill volumes. But the Japanese did send balloons. That part's true as far as that goes. They sent 9,000 of them. And
right.
It was the jet stream. I don't think they expected it to do quite as well as they... And so there are some who say, well, that's a direct activity, Area 51. There's no direct link there. The project in Japan was Fugo. And the weapon was a 33-foot hydrogen balloon, and it was made out of traditional mulberry bark paper. And so they were built to fly at about 30,000 feet. And when the balloons cooled at night and dropped in altitude, supposedly a barometric sensor would drop sandbag ballast to push the balloon back up. And once all the sandbags were dropped, of course, the mechanism would release it. And the Japanese military wanted to ignite forest fires. And that's what, you know, when you mention about it being in a forest, to cause panic and drain U.S. resources. Well, it didn't exactly do that. And so the Area 51 connection came because of Nellis. And, you know, Nellis had the base in California, had also and in Nevada, had all sorts of things going on. In 1940, it was an Army Air Corps gunnery school, actually. But some might well have drifted to New Mexico. Who knows? But there's no real proof that anything, you know, crashed in what was now Area 51. But what is interesting is there was a media blackout, and not for the reasons you'd think. The reason for the media blackout is they didn't want the Japanese to see the results of their attacks.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, and so, therefore, it wasn't like a big secret thing, and, oh, we've got these aliens or whatever. It's just, you know, don't let the enemy know. And so the only civilian casualties happened in 1945 in Oregon. There was a Sunday school teacher and five children, and the attached bomb detonated when they touched it, and that was the end of them. So that's the only but it was Fugo, and that was it. But no, if you really look into it, you can probably find 37 different stories about what's going on at Area 51. The one thing we do know is there is a military operation. I don't know to what extent it is in effect today, but used to be. Every morning you'd see the Janets. That was the nickname for the planes because of the way that, you know, the tail was written. But the Janets would fly from the Las Vegas airport, was that McCarran, I think, over to Area 51. And every afternoon they'd come back. And so we know they were flying personnel there, you know, civilian personnel, actually. But precisely what they were doing, well, you hear everything from, you know, David Adair stories. I don't know that I'd buy any of those, but okay. Lear's, you know, you got a lot of them. So, you know, if Area 51 interests you, there's no shortage of stories. I still have a front license plate from Nevada that says Area 51. So I get a kick out of it, but I don't...
And the Air Force did a lot of test aircraft. They did the SR-71 Blackbird, and that was supposed to be top secret.
Right.
But it was so powerful and it was so noisy, and it would break the sound barrier and do a lot of damage. And again, when people saw that, because it was supposed to be a secret, they were trying to figure out what in the world could that be, a 2,000-mile-an-hour airplane back right. in the 60s?
It was, you know? The 60s, the mid-60s. That was Lockheed, yes. I remember those. And they did a number of recon missions, actually, when we got involved more heavily into Vietnam, as far as that goes. But, yes, 66 and stuff, they were doing that. And then, of course, all the military tests they did in New Mexico and the area where my radio stations are, where I'm sitting right now, we're downwinders. And so the government actually has an office here where if you have one of like 22 kind of cancers and can show you were here on the right dates, they just write you a check.
Huh.
So, yeah.
Yep. Well, so if you get a chance to play the Flying Saucer, because it gives me a laugh every time
yeah.
I hear it,
well,
and I'm glad you're sounding real good.
Oh, thank you. I probably won't tonight, but I will because I did On Trial and I did Water Great, but I probably will tomorrow night. And somebody has the Touchables, which, of course, is Dickie Goodman later. So I'll certainly add, let me write this down on my sheet of paper so I won't forget it, that Carl wants to hear Flying Saucer. Part one. You want to hear part one and two? No,
you know what? They never play part two. Part two is shorter, but it's still pretty funny.
Okay. Yeah, well, it's flip side of the record. All right. Wants Flying Saucer. Okay. We'll do it.
Riley, take care.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
All right.
All right. So, yeah, and Carl is in Chicago. Let me write that down, too. All right. Now, watch, I'll lose the paper. All right. So now, what are we doing? We're doing something. Actually, I think we're doing this right about now, and then we'll get my girl Lil coming up on WGN Radio.
Bill walked me to my door last night, and he said, "Before I go, There's something about our love affair that I have a right to know. I said, let's not stand out here like this. What would the neighbors think? Why don't we just step inside and I'll fix us both a drink. My girl Bill, my girl Bill, can't say enough about the way I feel about my girl. William's hands were shaking as he took his glass of wine, and I could see we both felt the same. And when his eyes met mine, I said, who we love, why we love, it's hard to understand. So let's just sit here on the couch and face this man to man. You know, we just left her place, and we both know what she said. She doesn't want to see your face, and she wishes you were dead. Now I know we both love her, and I guess we always will. But you're gonna have to find another, 'cause she's my girl, Bill.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. So there you have it, Jim Stafford, 1974, My Girl Bill, The Importance of a Comma. He wrote it, it was a Phil Gernhardt record, and Phil was an interesting guy all the way around. The Royal Guardsman was him, Lobo, like you mentioned, Jim Stafford. Also, I guess his biggest claim to fame was early in life, he produced the Maurice Williams and the Zodiacs Stay, as far as that goes. So, but man, he was a head case in so many other ways. So, all right, let's see what else is going on. 888-876-5593. Mike in Elmwood Park. We'll try it again. All right, Mike.
Yeah, you ever heard that tune by Napoleon IV, They're Coming to Take Me Away?
That's Napoleon the 14th. Yes, remember when you ran away and I got on my knees and begged you not to leave because I'd go berserk? Yes, I know every word.
I think it was a.k.a. Jerry Samuels, I believe.
Jerry Samuels. Yes, he's no longer with us. He was in Philadelphia for years, and he was a recording engineer in New York. And when he did that, and Warner Brothers took it, and of course the flip side was just the song in reverse. But he did some other stuff actually that didn't get a lot of play. Although I think Dr. Demento might have played some things like Split Level Head. Napoleon the 14th.
Would that be considered a comedy? No.
No. It was a no doubt about it. It was a novelty records, but Jerry Samuels. I think he died about 3 years ago now. But
I like you playing. I like you playing Buchanan Goodman because I have a lot of this stuff on an album.
Oh sure, sure.
I mean it's classic. I mean you'll never hear that again.
Well, you know, it was interesting, just like some of the early Ross Bagdasarian stuff as David Seville, you know, back then recording capabilities were, you know, as far as much in the way of refinement, not there. So these guys putting it together were absolutely doing it with, you know, spit and tape, as I like to say. And, you know, it was very, very crude. So doing it at all was, you know, took something. And now, of course, anybody can do it. But back then, that was, you know, that was a labor, say the least.
It's good to hear comedy, though, that you get your playing in it. It's good to hear that stuff.
Yeah.
Because nobody else does it. you know, I mean, even the old stuff.
Well, you know, I was so sorry when Dr. Demento was no longer syndicated, because I thought that was a great little show. And it was mostly on AOR stations, and I don't know why it fell out of favor. Now, originally in Los Angeles, it was a local show, and so the records we got were a little different. Like, you know, Pico and Sepulveda was like the biggest thing ever. But the national show was really great, too, and it was mostly, like I said, because the first one was on an AOR station in Los Angeles, KMET. It was on public broadcasting before that. But
he was on the loop here.
Yeah, that's what I mean. See, perfect thing. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know why that fell apart, because to me, there was a place for that forever. And, you know, Barry Ensign, Dr. Demento, was creative enough and had enough material that it wasn't the same old, same old.
No.
You know, I don't really get why that. And of course, he tried to do it online for years, and frankly, it was a little too pricey for most of us. And then he retired entirely from it last fall. And he's still alive.
He is absolutely still alive.
He's still living in the house in Long Beach, unless he sold it recently. And his wife, who Barry had another love besides the obscure records, he loved trains. And he wound up marrying a gal who worked at Union Station in Los Angeles. And it was a good marriage. They were happy. But she died a couple years ago. And so I really don't know. You know, that's somebody who I've got the number on that famous callback list, and it's now been years. But as far as I know, he's doing all right.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I got you on every night, and I enjoy when you have the repeat on Friday. That's good, too.
Okay, good. Well, I'm delighted.
It's something for me. My evenings, I like it because my evenings are taken up from 10 to 1, which is okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm delighted to have you.
Thank you. I appreciate it, and I appreciate your show.
Okay. Talk to you soon, I hope. Thanks.
Will do. Bye.
All right. So, yeah, Barry is absolutely... He was actually working at a volunteer at KPPC in Pasadena, and he played Transfusion by Nervous Norvus, and one of the L.A. jocks, the obscene Stephen Clean, said, "You have to be demented to play that." And then, you know, Clean and another guy there devised the mythical character Dr. Demento. And that was went into syndication in 1974 because it moved over to KMET and was a Sunday night staple. And then Westwood One picked it up. And they did that from 1978 to 1992. And then I don't know who picked it up. I think someone did something for a while after that. But then it completely went off terrestrial syndication about 2010. And then they were doing it just as an internet thing. But, yeah, I don't get it, because I thought that was just a terrific little show. And I didn't think it aged at all. But, yeah, I think he moved to KMET in 1971. And it was a four-hour show. And it was great, I thought. Well, anyway. That was the deal. But yeah, I'll have to find out sometime why did that not continue? Because I've never heard anybody who said, "Gee, well, that was just awful, and I don't want to hear it." I'm sure there were people like that, but for the most part, most of us wax sentimental about that. And Loop, as Mike mentioned, Loop was probably his largest station and he lost that in 2010. You know, as far as that goes, and he had lost KMET. So I don't know. All right, I'll have to try to check that out. All right, I'll put it on the list, the infamous list. 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. Brian and Seneca, what's up tonight, Brian?
How's it going, Raleigh?
Can't complain. What's going on?
Okay, well, we'll clear out the stuff that came up during the whole time first. Gordon Lightfoot, of course, is not a singer for every taste, but like Bob Dylan, when he was on his game, he put out some incredible music. A lot of the rest of the time, it's like Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan thinks he's Bob Dylan, and Gordon Lightfoot thought he was Gordon Lightfoot.
Okay.
And if we're shortening Ocean Disaster songs, and in a way, it's just as well that Gordon Lightfoot left the public eye, because the only hits he was getting was from sinking ships. And
yeah.
But let's give it a try, remembering that 50 years ago I actually had a singing voice.
All right.
"Well, ship and crew were tried and true, but the toilets, they were not. Oceanos became a submarine, and on the ocean floor she rot."
All righty then. Very nice.
Okay. Getting away from that and back to Fred and his enjoying his trip to Chicago,
yeah,
including the Weber Grill.
Yeah.
That's one that I didn't recommend, and I wish I would have thought to recommend it because it's a wonderful place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, if you're not familiar with it, the Weber Grill, the restaurants, are owned by the family who invented the Weber Grills. And they still have a little bit of a hand in the Weber Grill Company, but that's mostly owned by Vulture Capital now.
Right.
But they own the restaurants outright. Now, there's a model of Weber Grill that's 37 inches in diameter.
Okay.
You can buy a regular enameled one of those for $2,600 if you wanted to throw a nice casual barbecue for $30.
Yeah.
Or the stainless steel versions are put in the kitchens of the Weber Grill restaurant at their five locations. At River North, Yorktown Center, Schaumburg, Illinois, Indianapolis, Indiana,
yes.
And there's another Chicago suburb where they're opening one right now.
Orland Park.
Yeah, here it is, Orland Park.
Yep.
And if it can possibly be cooked on a Weber Grill, that's the way the Weber Grill restaurant cooks it, and the food is wonderful.
That's great.
Okay, and the short and easy request I'll squeeze in right now, Little Richard's Rip It Up.
Oh, okay. Alrighty, there you go. On specialty, of course. Let me find a sheet again.
Yes, and the long and hard-to-find request is the original reason I called. WGN, for many years, employed a gentleman by the name of Peter Nuño.
Yes.
Peter Nuño was first hired in the early 60s and did both a television and a radio show
from
1964. And the radio show, I think, continued till 1999. The TV show definitely did. The TV show was called Charlando, which is Spanish for chatting.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what the radio show was called, and it's the radio show I'm calling about. The radio and TV shows both had theme music. I don't care about the TV show theme music. It's nice music, but I don't want to hear it.
Okay.
I'm trying to find the name of the song and the band that performed it for the radio show.
Yeah, and the only thing I remember while he was on the air is the Chicago WGN slogan was actually, "We've got Chicago talking." So that would, and he was one of the, you know.
Well, he hung on for a number of years, but his slogan was always brought in mostly by Floyd Brown, since he was a booth announcer as well as doing the music and personal Walsh show Sunday evenings.
Right.
For news of the Latin scene, what better man to do it? Here's our man, Peter Nuño.
Yeah.
And they would roll into the Peter Nuño show, and I don't think I ever listened to it cover to cover. I think the radio show had a fair amount of English in it, because, of course, he was native fluency bilingual. The TV show, if you catch cuts of it on YouTube, those were done entirely in Spanish, and they had one of the booth announcers announce it in and announce it out so that those of us who didn't habla knew what the heck was going on.
Right.
And we didn't think we'd accidentally messed up our TVs and tuned into Telemundo.
Yeah. No,
but
Peter
Nuño is, as far as we can tell, is still alive, at least.
I don't think so. I think he was in his
90s. If he died, they didn't put out
And I think he was in his 90s, okay. But maybe not. Let me see if I can find that out. But I thought that
if he did die, somebody owes him one heck of a obituary.
Yeah. Well, he was.
Yeah.
He was, I know he was at GNTV for 35 years, as far as that goes.
He was on the radio for roughly the same time.
Yeah. And he did, I think he was kind of public affairs director or something for a while on radio, I think, because the shows were...
Most of all of his time was Mexican and Latino Hispanic affairs.
Yeah, right. But, I mean, you know, part of that public affairs group there, that's what he was doing, but... Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know why. that I thought, and Charlando, of course, means chatting, so that's why they did that. But, I got to try and find out, because I hate to claim somebody's dead when they're not, but I was pretty sure that I had seen an obit. Now, maybe not.
Well, I looked before I called you to see if there was an obit out there, and I couldn't find it in the AI, which is also called AS for Artificial Stupidity, claimed that it thought that Nuño was still alive.
Well.
And if you are alive, Mr. Nuño, I hope you live for many, many more years. God
yeah.
bless.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I would agree with that whole heart, but now I want to know.
And if you're dead, somebody absolutely owes you at least as good a resume. Resume, obituary is Joel Sebastian.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. Well, maybe somebody will call us, because apparently I'm not quickly coming up with it. But, and so apologies, Peter, if you're still with us, and we hope you are. But I thought that he wasn't. All right, so maybe someone will call and tell us. But you're right, it would be a darn shame if he wasn't and nobody did a good obit. I agree.
Yeah, and absolutely. It's a big band-sounding piece, something like Cugat, but I don't think it is Cugat. Definitely he has a Latin, Cuban edge to it. Cuban edge, not a Brazilian.
Right. Right. I know that he had something on TV that was actually a Luis Bonfa record. That, it was something that way. But that was bossa nova more than anything. But I don't know about... maybe I'll play the Luis Bonfa, and you can tell me if you think it's the same.
Yeah, it's going to be good, too. But the one TV clip I pulled, the theme there, like you said, was a good theme.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the thing I'm looking for.
Right, that's what I thought, because I'm pretty sure that was Bonfa, and it would not be the same thing at all. So what would that be? I don't know. Maybe somebody will tell us. But, yeah, I'll let you hear a little of Sama de Orfa and see, because I don't think it is it either, but reason to listen to it anyway, I guess. Obviously, this is not a produced version of the song, but you know the melody, and I don't think that's it.
No, for an absolute certainty, that's not it.
Yeah, I'm just saying, melody-wise, it wouldn't be the version of that, to say the least. I could have provided...
Not the melody, not the rhythm, yeah. Not anything. The only thing the two songs have in common is they're both good.
Right, there you are. So what was that on radio, and why aren't we getting more of him... In terms of anything, I'm not getting as far as that goes. I'm getting more the TV stuff. He had Carlos Santana on one of his shows. But radio, it's as if it didn't exist other than as a public affairs thing. But all right, so I will add that to the list of mysteries, and hopefully we'll come up with something.
Okay, thanks, Holly.
Okay, thanks for calling. So, what was that? There was a guy when I went to WIBC in Indianapolis who had a Sunday show as well. I remember that because he found out that I had, Morris Albert's, Feeling Dime, Solamente Dime, that I had that album and in Spanish. And so, and of course, that was a stretch for Morris Albert, because he spoke Portuguese. But in any event, I remember he borrowed it and never heard another word from the guy. He still got my album. All right. Yeah, I don't even remember his name. That's even worse. All right, so I think we have to do something right now on WGN Radio.
The Ballad of Irving. He was short and fat and rode out of the west with a Mogan David on his silver vest. He was mean and nasty right clear through, which was kind of weird because he was yellow too. They called him Irving. Big Irving. Big short Irving. Big short fat Irving. the 142nd fastest gun in the West. He came from the old bar mitzvah spread with a 10-gallon yarmulke on his head. He always followed his mother's wishes. Even on the range, he used two sets of dishes. Irving. Big Fat Irving.
WGN Radio. Yeah, another Dr. Demento favorite, Frank Gallup, The Ballad of Irving. Yes, from the play When You're in Love, The Whole World is Jewish. All right, so Valerie Harper was in that, too. I know she wasn't Jewish. All right, so we'll pick it up after the news right there on WGN Radio.
Is he really going out with her?
I don't know.
Look, here he comes now. Let's ask him.
Hey, Murray, is it true Betty's wearing your ring?
Mm-hmm. Who's that banging on the piano?
I don't know.
You going out with her tonight?
You bet your firm.
By the way, where'd you meet her?
I met her one day at the laundromat.
She turned around and smiled at me. You get the picture?
Yes, we see.
And that's when I fell in love with the leader of the laundromat. My folks were always putting her down.
Down, down.
Because our laundry came back brown.
Brown, brown.
I don't care if they think she's bad. I fell in love 'cause she looked so sad.
I got a date tonight with the leader of the laundromat.
Dang it.
My dad said, find a laundry that's new.
Find a laundry that's new.
How can I tell my baby we're through?
Tell my baby we're through.
Gonna drive right into town. I don't care if my shirts are brown.
I got a date tonight with the leader of the laundry.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. There they are, the Detergents, Ron Dante, Danny Jordan, and Tommy Wynn. Actually, Ron, who later was the voice of the Archies, was in the group, but he did not sing lead on that, and I think it was Danny Jordan as far as that goes. They got sued by it, which I thought was interesting. It was sort of an out-of-court settlement, and I can't believe there would be a settlement. And, of course, who sued them? Well, Jeff Berry and Ellie Greenwich and Shadow Morton, those involved with Leader of the Pack, for copyright infringement. And like I said, the word was it was settled out of court, but usually those suits are just absolutely lost. So, I don't know. It got to number 19 on the Hot 100 charts, and so there you have the Detergents. Paul Vance and Lee Pockris, yes, who normally wrote legitimate songs. That's right. And I guess Leader of the Laundromat, you most known for that? That's sort of sad, don't you think? All right, so there you have it. 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. Ah, Kevin is in Colorado Springs. It's been a while. Kevin, how are you?
Well, I'm still here, but I'm going to be going through some changes. As of August, I'm going to be moving to a little town called Cedar Edge. It's near Montrose. Yeah. It's close to Grand Junction.
Yeah. Yeah, it's western. I do know where that is, and it's actually more flat country than the middle of the Rockies, but it's got some really nice land. Now, what's bringing you there?
A girl that I met that I've known
for
years.
All right.
And
good. This is good. 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 Getting out of where you are, going to Delta County.
Yep. Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So yeah. I'm going to do that and probably, you know, be there the rest of my life.
Yeah, absolutely. That's just great news.
Because for
people who don't realize, Kevin was betrayed by his family. Not only did they put him in, you know, we'll call it politely senior housing, and we know it's not that. And
not even a house.
let's be honest, they warehoused him. But not only that, they got rid of his records. I kid you, and his tapes. This is, and I haven't forgotten. I will still make you tapes. I just haven't done it yet, but I will. I'll make copies for you. But yes, it unthinkable. A pox on their house, but it looks like you're going to do well. This is good.
Yes, it is. The lady, we met in grade school.
Wow.
And that goes way back, because those who don't know, I'm 75.
Uh-huh.
So
a young 75.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A young 75.
Yeah.
But, we're going to, I'm going to move up there in August, and we plan to marry in mid-September.
This is wonderful news. Oh, I'm just thrilled.
Oh, it's the best news I've had in years.
Oh, absolutely. So. And you'll never have to talk to your damn family again.
Yes, ain't that the truth?
Yeah, I know. That's such an affront, what they did. That's not forgivable.
Oh, yeah, I know. I still have problems dealing with it, and it's been a couple of years.
Well, you never get over that kind of a betrayal, but you put it in its place. Now, have you told them you're moving?
Not yet.
Don't. Just go.
I really thought about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, absolutely I would. Let them figure it out one day.
Just leave.
Yes, absolutely. Exactly. I mean, you know, because here's what I'm afraid of, in all seriousness. If you tell them you're going to leave, they might try to have you declared incompetent. You see, they're evil. And from what you told me, obviously I don't know any of these people personally, but relatives who would do that to you, I don't think they'd stoop at saying, well, no, you can't leave, you're incompetent. Don't tell them.
Well, they actually told me that I couldn't leave because... my sister was my POA. Well, I changed that in a hurry.
Right. Good.
And actually, they wouldn't let me even go see her. So when I changed my POA, that changed everything. And
good.
I spent two wonderful, wonderful weeks in Cedar Edge.
Okay.
And I'm going back for good.
Yeah. No, I think that's great, but I would not trust them. I wouldn't be surprised if they were thinking, well, you know, we can have them declared incompetent, so don't let it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Since you're talking Dr. Demento's
stuff,
how about Art Cronin's Cheap Suit Serenaders, to the Pink Burrito song?
Okay. All right. I'm writing this down.
I know you have it.
Oh, yeah. You have heard it. Absolutely. Yeah. So, yes, this is one of those marvels of the collection. Yes. But,
Exactly.
Oh, God.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, yeah, I'll have to. My address hasn't changed, and it won't change until
you
the
go.
First part of August.
Right. Right.
So,
well, keep us posted.
I will do that.
Well, this is just the best news ever.
It is. It's wonderful news.
Yes, it is. Wishing you both the very best. That's a wonderful, wonderful piece of information. Made my night.
Well, all right, Raleigh. Well, take care and thank you
very
much.
All right. Talk to you soon, I hope. All right. So,
I know you will.
Yes,
I will.
I'm counting on it. All right. So there you go. Isn't that great? Yeah, because what his family did to him, you talk about unconscionable. Yeah, well, we'll just warehouse him and get rid of his stuff. Yeah. Do not let this happen to you. All right, Eduardo in Tampa, welcome to WGN Radio.
Yeah, can you hear me, Raleigh?
Loud and clear.
Yep. I don't know if you got into it, but see those sad pictures over there in Venezuela.
Oh, well, I haven't gotten into it, but it is on the news, obviously, because this is a front and center developing news story.
I saw the because I had the Spanish news on, and the one that really stuck out is the people at the airport. The
right.
lights go out, and they don't know where they're going to be going to hide.
Oh, I know. No, these earthquakes, we're talking about 7.5, and, you know.
Two of them, yeah.
Yeah,
7.1 and 7.5,
7, yeah. Yeah, right, exactly. And, you know, in some cases, you know, the dwellings are such that, well, they could have fallen over with a stiff wind. But no, when you're talking about a lot of these were not the kind of things you would expect to fall down. And I guess there's like 36 dead and 700 injured or something like that. I mean, it's not a good thing. So,
yeah, when I see like dust in the background, I go, over there goes a building coming down. That's what that is.
Right. Of course. Of course. And again, you know, depending where, you do have a lot of poverty and you do have a lot of buildings where, yeah, that's not so surprising. But on others, yeah, it is a little surprising. So,
and yeah, I guess they don't make them like they used to. So, well, no, I mean,
well, no, they never made them well. I mean, when we're talking about some of these places, especially in South America, you know, it's just... so I'm looking for where it struck here, and it says it struck 104 miles west of Caracas. All right, so that is near Morón, I think. Anyway, so yeah, that's a mess.
So they're in that plate that I think is also part of California, because California got something too today. Japan got something.
Yeah, but nothing of this kind of magnitude, no.
No.
So, yeah.
They get two of them.
Yeah. And so it was interesting that they warned residents saying remain outdoors because some of the buildings were such that you'd be, you know, less safe indoors than outdoors. But again, you got to look at some of the buildings, and I'm going to do that more when I get off the air, because a lot of times you're talking about buildings that shouldn't have been there to begin with, you know, things like that. But I have a feeling with back-to-back like that, they probably have been hit by some areas that they thought were probably impervious to this, and guess what? So yeah, not what they needed right about now, that's for darn sure.
Yeah, the government told them that they should get out of the buildings. Apparently, that's because maybe they're concerned that there might be gas explosions.
Yeah, all of that, absolutely, and that's absolutely possible. No, you're better outdoors. In that, it's one of those things where it's normal counterintuitive. You wouldn't think, well, gee, I'll go outdoors, but you know, your chances are better depending upon where you are and what the situation is. Mm-hmm. And there's also a lot of areas that are very dense. You know, a lot of substandard buildings, very closely packed, and that's a recipe for disaster. So we'll see.
Oh, I wouldn't want to be. I was telling my mother I wouldn't want to be upstairs. My mother would never would enjoy being upstairs.
Right.
That's what she tells me.
Yeah.
She's from Mexico, and you know, obviously they get them over there too. So.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, absolutely. They do. So. Yeah, well, you know, obviously we wish them the best, but it's absolutely a developing story because they have no idea what the devastation really is yet. They have no idea. So
yeah, let's keep it.
Of course,
fingers crossed and prayers.
Absolutely, yeah. Because
it's not bad as we think it might be when you get two of them like that.
Well, and when you look at some of the destruction, you know that there's a loss of life in there that they haven't found yet. And it was early evening. It was about 6 o'clock in the evening when it hit. So, you know, just horrible. You hate hearing about that. So they closed the airport, like you were mentioning, because there's damage. I don't think anything's collapsed at the airport that I saw, but enough that they, you know, they closed it, which makes it tough.
Yeah. So. I was just going to mention real quickly yesterday, because I said on some of these stories, there was another one from New Orleans, and his name is Charles M. Blow, and he created an organization called Son of a Saint, and he teaches young people, you know, the trades, how to cook and all that. So,
okay.
It's a pretty good story. That came on the Sunday CBS morning show, too. So,
okay.
Along with that other one that I mentioned about the kid that had kidney cancer yesterday.
Yes.
Two great stories. It's good to hear stories like that.
It is good to hear. It restores your faith in humanity. So, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, good deal. Always good to hear from you. Thank you.
Yep. Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, okay.
All right, talk soon.
I enjoyed listening to the rest of the show.
Thanks.
You very much.
Appreciate it. So, and that is where we will pick it up. We got Ralph, we got Gene, and we've got Dave on the north side, and you two coming up on WGN Radio.
A plate of Twinkies and takes a pink burrito.
for to keep me clean. TV dinner is the meal that I'm loving. Take off the foil, 30 minutes in the oven. Bring a load of Archie Cola, a TV dinner, a plate of Twinkies, and takes a pink burrito for to keep me clean. Don't like no carrots, can't stand no peas, but a pack of ding-dong bring me down to my knees. Bring a load of Archie Cola, a TV dinner, a plate of Twinkies, and it takes a pink burrito for to keep me clean.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yes, Art Crumb and his Cheap Suit Serenaders. And that is what Kevin wanted to hear. I thought Fran might like it too. She probably remembers it. It's actually not called Pink Burrito. It's Get a Load of This. And it's from their 1974 album on, I think it was like Blue Goose Records or something. I have to look that up because I've got it on an audio file there. But yeah, Robert Crumb was an underground cartoonist, actually. He did the cover art for the albums. It was also in the group. But yes. There you have it, 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. And Gene is in Dalton. All right, Gene, how you feeling?
Oh, you don't want to know. We've got these horrible storms again.
Yes.
And a couple people in Maryville, they are getting it so bad. You know, that's right close to me in Indiana.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, I hope nobody died tonight because they died, you know, over the weekend. The homes were rubble.
Yeah.
The paper, you know, had so many pictures.
Yeah.
And tonight we had to wait out all the good things again, you know, the branches. I've got trees all around this corner, and I'm going to have to get that big one down.
Whoa.
By my bedroom window because it's in, the branches are coming, and they didn't cut it right last year. But anyway, we're living. The pump's working. The lights didn't go out tonight.
Good.
That was a good thing.
Yes, absolutely. It's always nice when there's power. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, I know, but it's getting nerve-wracking. And then the doctor for tomorrow morning, after we have our ride schedule and everything, they called. Their elevator isn't working.
Oh, jeez.
The elderly, I couldn't get up there, so they called. They're sorry, but we know the weather has been gross, you know, now for the past week. But that's our good, you know. Our trillionaires and millionaires, whoever they are, putting stuff up in space so much. Something has to happen to the atmosphere. I mean, it's just logical.
Oh,
but
gosh.
Anyway, we're not going to, you know, bother with it. I'm too old, you know.
Yeah, boy, exactly.
Place.
Exactly.
But there's a future, though. I hope some of the data centers and some of that stuff, it doesn't go on, you know.
Oh, it will, but yeah, John was mentioning something. They use so darn much water. Why don't they just put it underwater? Put it under Lake Michigan.
You're right on, and that's what I told Kimberly, because if you're going to use all that water, all that land, and the electric,
terrible. Oh, I know.
And you know that Kevin from Shark Tank, he's one of the investors, the original investors back quite a while. I'll tell you, it's awful.
Well, I'll add insult to injury. Most of the deals that municipalities have made with data centers includes an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement. So residents who suddenly see their bills going through the roof can't even question what's going on. So, yeah.
I know.
This is for a show that has merit. God knows we'll just fiddle while the rest of Rome burns and try to forget about it.
Right. But you know what? You did another good deed tonight for the, you know, that caller. I don't remember his name. That's getting married because he was going through a lot, and you really helped him. And you just helped so many people. Do you know that? You really do.
Well, I'm just thrilled to everybody who will call me, and I'm so glad you did. And I think I'm about to blow the news. So I will talk to you soon.
Okay. But can you just play Rolling? With the Flow by Charlie Rich.
I can do that. I will be happy to do that next. You betcha. All right, thanks.
You take good care. Bye-bye for now.
Okay, thanks. All right, after the news, you'll hear Charlie Rich and Rolling with the Flow on WGN Radio.
Once was a thought inside my head. Before I reached 30, I'd be dead.
Somehow on and on I go. I keep on rolling with the flow. Folks said that I would change my mind. I'd straighten up and do just fine. Ah, but I still love rock and roll. And I keep on rolling with the flow. Guys my age are raising kids. Well, I'm raising hell just like I did. I've got a lot of crazy friends, and they forgive me of my sins. Some might be calling me a bum, but I'm still out there having fun. Jesus loves me, yes I know. So I keep on rolling with the flow.
Keep on rolling with the flow.
While guys my age are raising kids, well, I'm raising hell just like I did.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 1977, it was his eighth number one country single, Rollin' with the Flow. I was a little surprised that he cut that, actually, that Billy Sherrill chose to cut that on him, because it'd been around a while and did basically nothing. Obviously, it sure did something for Charlie, but originally, T.G. Shepherd in 1974 had it as a B-side, and then it was on T.G. Shepherd's first album, and not a bad song. As far as that goes, well, I'll let you be the judge of it.
Once was a thought inside my head. Before I'd reach 30, I'd be dead. But somehow on and on I go. I keep on rolling with the flow. Folks said that I would change my mind.
All right, well, they couldn't touch Billy Sherrill, but then again, nothing could. It was Jack Gilmer and Bill Browder who produced that. It was the B-side, as I mentioned. Devil in the Bottle was the A-side of that. And then it came back again in 2008, like 31 years later. Somebody had Mark Chestnut, that's who it was, who had it. And so there you have the history of Rolling with the Flow. And yes, Charlie nailed it, that's for sure. But Billy's production made all the difference. So it was Jimmy Ritchie who did the Mark Chestnut version, in case you're taking notes. All right, 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh Dave on the north side. What's up, Dave?
Hey, how you doing?
All right, how about yourself?
Yeah, I'm okay. I was wondering if I could request the song Here Comes, or not the song, but the skit Here Comes the Judge.
Okay, well, no, that's actually a song, and there's several versions of it, Shorty Long and Pig Meat Markham. Do you have a favorite?
Well, yeah, I was wondering if Pig Meat Markham, I didn't know he did a song of it. I know he did a...
Yeah, sure he did. Sure he did.
Okay.
Sure he did.
He's also got a comedy skit called Here Comes
of course he does. Of course he does.
And he plays it.
And then, you know, Shorty Long had it out too. But yeah, I'll be happy to play the Pig Meat Markham version. You betcha.
Well, I was thinking because you were playing like Dr. Nolento and stuff, I thought I could hear the skit. Okay. Here Comes the Judge.
Well, I don't think I can easily play the skit for you, but I can play the song.
Okay. Have you heard anything of like Dolly Parton?
What about her?
Blues anymore?
No, what's wrong? I mean, as far as I know, everything's okay.
Well, like in the last 6 months, I've heard them mention a couple times she's had to cancel shows like for health issues. I know she's like 80.
Well, I heard that the only thing that I knew, and, you know, obviously when you're getting up in age, the bottom line to that is that if you're working a huge amount of gigs, you get worn out. And so I think that it was just she decided she was going to rest. I haven't heard about her. Well, I heard about some kidney stones, but nothing, you know, nothing like serious. So if there's something other than that, I don't know. Now, of course, you know, she's still had to deal with her husband, Carl Dean, who, you know, she was very close with for, obviously, for a number of years. He passed away, and that wasn't easy. So, so she postponed some shows. But as far as I know, it's just, you know, just general tiredness and all that. And, you know, I think her sister was quoted as, you know, saying that she was doing all right, and to say that Dolly says, "I'm not dead yet," you know, that kind of stuff. So. I assume that it's okay.
Yeah, she's a character. The news was like really vague. Didn't say, they just said she had health issues. So I was hoping that she was okay.
As far as I know.
I was wondering. Yeah. I think on her 80th birthday, they had like people do, sing her like wish her a merry happy birthday with bagpipes, and she made the response like. Bagpipes? What do you think? I like an old bag or something?
Oh, geez, oh God! Yeah, she turned 80 in January.
Yeah, so I thought it was funny, but I was wondering if you could request something from her. I don't know titles of her songs, so maybe you could pick something out.
Oh, there's a ton of them, to say the least, and she's written a lot of them. So.
And the only thing I know is like Jolene or.
Yeah, well, Jolene was a big hit, no doubt about that.
Something that wasn't a big hit. Something
The funniest one, the one I often play because it's just so bad. You know, her original stuff on record was duets with Porter Wagoner, because she, of course, was on the TV show with Porter. And they did one called Jeannie's Afraid of the Dark. And this is the world's worst country record. It's all about their little girl, and she died, and they lit her coffin because Jeannie's afraid of the dark. And so... So it's probably worth hearing only because it's such a novelty.
Okay, that's interesting. You say litter coffin. A friend of mine told me, you know, because I can't see, they said I shouldn't have a candle because I'd burn my house down. But they said they have a candle that lights up. You can plug it into the wall and stuff, and then you have like a romantic evening with your woman. So,
well. That's a reach, but okay. To this day, I just can't imagine what they were thinking recording this. There's a soliloquy that Porter does in the middle of it. You've just got to hear it. So that's what we'll play.
Okay. I wanted to talk to you about cell phones. I've been trying to talk to you for, I tried calling a few days or a few times. I fell asleep a couple times waiting, and my phone battery went dead another time I tried calling you. So I didn't know, you might have seen my name on your list the last week or two, and that's I'm with Consumer Wireless, and they're advertising a phone called the Iris flip phone.
Okay.
And I was wondering if you could go online and check it out and maybe help me. I don't really have any way to, I can't go online or anything.
Right.
I talked to them, and I kind of wanted a view from someone that wasn't trying to sell me the phone from Consumer Cellular.
Yeah, Consumer Cellular is an MVNO, so they're using AT&T and T-Mobile, depending as far as the carriers for that. Mostly for all the new activations, I think everything, the underlying network's AT&T. So that's the deal with them. But the Iris is what they call the phone?
Yeah, this is a flip phone, supposed to be like a smartphone.
You'd be able to use it with data internet service.
And...
An affordable, senior-friendly 4G LTE device, large dual screens, which you don't care about, a tactile backlit keypad, you don't care about that either, a 5MP camera, you won't be taking any pictures. All right, so let's see. No-frills, low-distraction mobile experience without sacrificing essential connectivity. So they've simplified the interface, but what I'd like to know, as far as accessible, I know they talk about it being hearing aid compatible, but I'd want to check first to see, is this very accessible if you can't see the darn thing?
That's what I'm wondering, because it says it has TalkBack feature, but...
Well, yeah, most operating systems are going to give you that, but
I want to be able to do things like I'd want to set up the application to see, to scan, and read, and then I'd want to listen to music and stuff. You know, listen to your show and that.
Well, it's an operating system called Kai. And it says it's got specific tools to navigate, so the blind can navigate independently. You know, there's a built-in screen reader, but so everybody else has that too. They've got an accessibility suite that's downloadable, and that includes a number of tools. And so the other thing that, I guess one thing that's nice is it is tactile. So there are, you know, there are backlit keys. Now, you don't care that they're backlit or that they're high contrast, but you do care that they're tactile. And yeah, the 5 key has a raised dot, which makes things easier as far as that that goes. Consumer Wireless, they used to have physical stores. I don't know if they still do.
it's funny. I was talking to the lady and the toner is like, you know, you don't have any stores where you have. They sell their phones out of Target and that.
Yeah.
And
no, they have several. They have several physical stores. All right.
She said the closest one to me was in Wisconsin.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a drive. That's weird that they don't have anything in the Chicago area at all. Now, you know, a lot of times, like you say, Target, you mentioned Target, Walmart as well. The problem there is you usually don't have anybody in those departments who know what they're doing.
Right.
Yeah, you might as well tell them to bark at the moon. So
they're basically like, here, buy the phone and you'll go figure it out yourself.
Right. Well, exactly. Because what they're basically saying is because I can't.
Go to Target. They can help you with anything you need with your phone.
Absolutely right. And they're going to solve the grand unified theory too. Now, hopefully somebody listening has tried one of these Iris phone. It's cheap enough. That's for sure.
Exactly. That versus a smartphone. That's why I was wondering, could it do everything a smartphone and, I wouldn't want to be wasting my money on something that was limited services stuff.
No, I don't. I don't think it would. I mean, it's got an operating system. I assume it's got a browser, and you don't really care that it. Now, part of it is they've got several different Iris models. You've got the Iris Connect. You've got the Iris Connect 2. I know with the Iris Connect 2, they claim it's a full-featured smartphone. So, as far as the Iris Easy Flip or the Flip 2, I don't know. I think that that the flips are probably, you get a basic web browser of sorts, but it's not going to be able to download apps and all that because it doesn't have the operating system to do that. So, if you're really wanting streaming video and doing a lot of web browsing, the flips are probably not your first choice. So
the flip, is that the $100 phone?
You know, I'd have to price them. And you also don't want something where, you know, you have to have a contract because, you know, you'll see them sometimes and it'll say $11 now. Yeah, well, wait till you see the contract.
They don't have contracts.
Well, I have some. Let's see. Not that you'd want the Easy Flip because it won't do what you need it to do. But
The more expensive one, must be Easy Go or something. They said it couldn't actually do everything right now.
Right. I would think Iris Connect 2 would be the way to go. But let's see how much that would.
I was thinking the $99 phone. No, the flip.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure the flips will do what you want. It's a problem. The Iris Connect 2, I see what Consumer Cellular are doing. They're kind of financing them for you, like $5 a month. You pay $29, then you pay $5 a month. But the phone actually costs $149, but they'll do it at a $5 a month plan. So that's how that works.
Okay.
But
and the phone is like $99 and...
Well, you know, right, but I don't think I'd, from what I can tell, and, we're doing this on the phone together, so I haven't done a lot of in-depth research, but from what I can tell, I don't think I'd do a flipped. I'd do a Connect and probably a Connect 2. But I want somebody who has actually used one to call us. And if not tonight, tomorrow night would be fine because we want to know. The Iris Connect 2, which is... Android-based, meaning you'll get all the apps you want. You see, those are the magic words. You want something that's going to be either an iOS or an Android because that's what all the apps are native to.
Yeah, because then you can go portholes and
whatever. But yeah, so that's what you want to do. But hopefully someone will call us back, and you will hear Jeannie's Afraid of the Dark next.
Okay, and as far as your bug bites and stuff,
yeah.
I remember Kimberly told you to use Vicks Vapor Rub. Have you tried that?
Yeah.
Because that does work. It smells bad, but it works for the bugs. It keeps them, they can't stand that stuff.
Yeah, I did try it with limited success, but of course, then again, I was pretty badly bitten when I tried. So I'll give it another go, and these things that John ordered, I'll plug them into. So we'll see. All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay, and right. Lanacane for this.
Yes, lanacane is pretty good. Not, nothing's perfect, but yes, and thanks for the suggestions. Appreciate it.
All right,
so yeah, so everybody wants to hear Jeannie's Afraid of the Dark. It's not supposed to be a comedy record, but it sure is when you hear the Porter Wagoner soliloquy, and it coming up on WGN Radio.
Come running into our bedroom almost every night. Her soft little face would be wet from her tears, and her little heart pounding with fright. She'd hold out her arms, then she'd climb in beside us. In a small voice, we'd hear her remark, "Mommy and Daddy, can I sleep here with you? 'Cause Jeannie's afraid of the dark." One day in the summer, we took some flowers to place on some old family graves. Jeannie said, "Mommy, ain't it dark in the ground? Oh, Daddy, I'd be so afraid." She looked up at her daddy and me and said something that broke both our hearts. She said, "When I die, please don't bury me, 'cause Jeannie's afraid of the dark."
Jeannie was always afraid of the dark, and we never could understand why. 'Cause we looked after Jeannie with the very best of care, because Jeannie was our only child. Perhaps it was death that she was so afraid of, 'cause it took her one dark, stormy night. I think we always knew that we'd never see Jeannie grown, 'cause it seemed she was destined to die. But on Jeannie's grave, we placed an eternal flame that glows and never loses its spark.
Yes, they lit the coffin. All right, so there you have Jeannie's Afraid of the Dark, and Dolly Parton actually wrote it. All right, so that was Dolly Parton and Porter Wagoner with their heartfelt Jeannie's Afraid of the Dark. Yeah, thank God I never actually had to backsell that, because I could not do it with a straight face. Could not have happened. All right, Ralph in Rockford, you're going to close out the show. We got about 4 minutes. What's up, Ralph?
Yeah, thank you. I thought Jeannie was afraid of buying the wrong phone, you know.
I don't know what Jeannie was afraid of, but I can't imagine what Dolly was thinking about. And the word is, she didn't do drugs, so I don't know.
Well, I tell you one thing. I made up my mind to roll with the flow and call Wally. Okay, all right. So, no, that was wonderful, the Charlie Rich. That was the third of my favorite artists that you played in the last 2 days, so I have to mention that too. But before we go back to music, I just wanted to thank WGN for this superb weather report between 6 and 7 last night. Yeah, that was wonderful. That was just great. It went on, and believe it or not, even in, I think it was Algonquin, had 1.6 inches in 20 minutes.
Wow.
Now, that's almost like a record. And, of course, there you get these flash floods, you know.
Uh-huh.
And, they can be very dangerous. People think, you know, they measure the water there, but if you drive through it and it says don't drive here, you can get into a sinkhole.
Well, no, it's not that. You'll be taken away. This is very common where we are in Globe. And, in fact, we had an entire community that the only way to get there was to cross a creek. And when the creek would rise, people would die every year. Finally, last year, they built a bridge. But it took a lot of deaths because you kind of underestimate what that water is or what it can do. Of course. So we live with that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, but I mean, they have, this is a terrible way to die if you have a car and get into a sinkhole because you cannot get out.
Well, in most cases, it isn't. Usually, flash flooding won't be a sinkhole, but you'll be dead, deader than dead. And now, whether it's a bad way to die, I've heard mixed reaction to that, but nobody's been back to tell us. So bottom line is we don't know. But yes, it would be absolutely horrible. So there you have it.
Yeah. Okay, well, and again, I want to thank you yesterday for playing Freddie Hart, Easy Loving.
Well,
somebody requested it.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's the only reason I played it, yes. I was hoping they wanted Wade Fleming's Easy Loving. Different song, same title, but anyway.
All right, well, anyway, we only have 1 minute now, so I better let you get back to your show, you know.
Yeah, whatever it is. Call me tomorrow night. We'll talk again.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, I'll call you tomorrow night.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. All right. So on that note, we'll call it a wrap, and we'll thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, you know the deal. I thank you for calling. That's what makes the show a pleasure to do. So 21 hours from now, we'll reconvene, and I hope to hear from you. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.